WMFO, Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there are no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving, the 28th of November, so that makes today the 27th of November. I got a couple of dramas here. I'm going to play. Should be fairly familiar with regular listeners. I had difficulties with sound quality for shows that had Thanksgiving themes. It felt like everything was stacked against me in that regard, because they were just poor quality recordings of the Mel Blanc show as one. I forget. I previewed so many, they all just were poor quality, so I just abandoned all that. So I'm going to go start off this morning with yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is episode 517, the square to circle matter. I believe I left off when I was playing the 30-minute episodes. This would have been the next in the sequential order, before I decided to go to the quarter hour episodes. But anyway, this is called the Squared Circle Matter, with an original air date of the 30th of December in 1956. At that point, Elvis was a household name. This is Arthur, the grand hour here, 91.5 FM, Tufts Freeform Radio.
From Hollywood, it's time now for
Johnny Dollar.
Paul Kendrick, Johnny, over at Eastern Allied Casualty, remember?
Oh, sure, Paul. How are you? Seen any good fights lately? Prize fights, that is?
Yeah, the championship bout at the stadium over in Mulville last week. Were you there?
No, I had to miss it. But it didn't miss me.
Huh?
The minute Georgie hit the canvas in that fourth round, it cost me $50.
Johnny, do you remember Al Coronado?
Are you kidding? I've watched that boy come up from the Golden Gloves.
Well, he fought in one of the preliminary bouts.
I know. I lost on him, too. $20.
Come on over, will you? And I'll tell you why the company may lose $50,000 on him.
Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Eastern Allied Casualty Insurance Company, 422 Spital Building, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Squared Circle matter. Expense account item one, $1.10, cab from my apartment to the offices of Eastern Allied. When I got upstairs into his personal cubicle, I found Paul Kendrick pacing the floor.
Sit down, Johnny. Have a drink if you want one.
No, thanks. Hey, looks like you're the one who could use a drink. What are you worried about? Don't tell me you've been hitting the company till for big money to bet on the fights.
Johnny, I'm worried about murder. Listen.
I'm all ears.
How long since you've seen Al Coronado fight?
Oh, 6 months, a year maybe.
But before that, when he was working all the local arenas, you and I were present every time he put on the gloves.
So?
We knew him when he had reflexes quick enough to... Well, do you remember how he'd show off by picking a fly or mosquito out of the air, grabbing it between his fingers without even hurting it?
Yeah, sure. He was no metal giant, not by a long shot, but he had the fastest eyes and hands I ever saw in a man.
Right. But something has happened to him, something very wrong, and I think I know what it is. Listen.
I'm listening.
A few years ago, his manager, Ricky Malone, took out a $50,000 policy on him. Annuity.
So what? A lot of managers take out policies on their boys.
And then get them killed? Look, Al is fighting again tomorrow night in a small town outside of Joplin.
Joplin? Missouri?
A little place just across the state line. Johnny, I want you to be there.
You mean as a sort of bodyguard?
I want you to see the fight, that's all. See Al Coronado fight.
Yeah, but this murder, correct?
I'm having a copy of the policy made, and you can pick it up at the Joplin post office. General delivery.
Now, Paul...
I know. I may be all wrong. This may only be a hunch without a single legitimate reason for suspicion. That's why I took a whole week to think it over before calling him. That's why I want somebody who knows Al as well as you and I do to... Look, will you go down there and see him?
Well, I...
We'll pay the freight. Pad your expense account, anything you like.
Oh, now that's an attractive
offer. But do it, Johnny. Will you?
Item 2, another $1.10, back to my apartment to pack. Item 3, $124 even, plane fare and incidentals to Joplin. By your leave, Paul, the incidentals included a new sports shirt loud enough to startle the whole state of Arizona, an extra pack of razor blades, and a new toothbrush. Also, item 4, $3, flowers for the stewardess, who managed to find me an extra bottle of champagne. I arrived at Joplin shortly before noon, and after checking into a hotel, found that by some miracle, a copy of Al's policy was waiting for me at the post office. A quick glance at it brings up item 5, $4.25, phone call.
What do you mean, holding out on you?
I thought you said Ricky Malone took out the policy.
He did, and pays all the premiums.
But the beneficiary named is Frankie Fortina. Now, who's he?
I don't know yet.
Well, his address is in New York City. You better look him up, will you?
I've been trying to. But the last time Fortina was at the address on the policy, it was a racetrack bookie joint.
Oh, so that's why you're worried.
Well, that's one reason.
Well, if you learn anything about him, let me know, will you? I'm staying at the Beverly Arms.
Okay, Johnny. Johnny.
Yeah?
Call me again, will you? After the fight tonight?
Sure. I was tired, so I had a big lunch. That's item 6. Went up to my room and slept. I overslept. It was nearly 9 o'clock when I woke up, so I grabbed a cab. That's item 7, and went out to the arena in the nearby town of Mount Elba. For $5, item 8, I managed to get a seat at ringside in time to catch the end of the last preliminary.
The winner in 1 minute, 10 seconds.
The program told me Al was scheduled for the main event against some local boy named Rafe Cummings. I never heard of him, and I doubt if anybody outside of Tucson ever had. I understood why when he stepped into the ring. This kid looked like the rankest kind of amateur. Strong, sure, and in good condition, but clumsy. He almost tripped over his own size 15 feet, and it was no act to fool an opponent either. Al, when he came in, looked as good as ever. He gave me a quick glance of recognition, though I'm sure he knew nothing about me except possibly my name. At the opening bell, he came out fast. All the old speed and timing were there. Faint weave and flick out that light, but punishing left. Same old pattern, same old... Oh, wait a minute. Those quick left jabs were only landing about 1 and 4. As though he touched Cummings only when the clumsy ox happened to walk into him. But because of his speed, Al took nothing but a few light ones on the body. He kept his face well out of reach. Oh, yeah, his timing was perfect, but his aim was terrible. Every time he shot out his fist, he was 3-4 inches wide. Then a funny thing happened. At the end of the round, when Al went back to his corner, and remember, Rafe had only tapped him a few times on the body. When he went back to his corner and started to sit down, he almost missed the stool. Would have if one of the seconds hadn't aimed it under him. Funny. The second round got underway the same as the first. Al was all speed, dodging, weaving, keeping his face out of the way. But again, he wasn't hitting his mark. And then it happened. He missed Cummings wide, then practically ran into his glove, catching it hard in the cheek, and down he went. Why, there wasn't enough steam behind Cummings' glove to hurt it. But Al took the count. He'd been hurt by that tap on the face. Then another thing. The second he was counted out, his handlers practically hauled him out of the ring and back to his dressing room. And believe me, Al looked terrible. His eyes had a strange, almost faraway look, as though that little smack had knocked his brains loose. My seat was on the far side of the ring, but I elbowed my way through the crowd and back to the row of dressing rooms in a hallway built on the one end of the building. Al. Al Coronado.
I told you on the way up the aisle, Doc.
Huh?
We don't need you. The boy's all right. Go on, Doc. Beat it. You hear me, Doc?
Listen, this is Johnny Dollar.
Huh?
Old fan of Al's from Hartford. I want to see him.
Some other time.
No, now, right away. Come on, open up.
I said some other time, don't you understand? We're pulling out of this, Berg, and we ain't got time to stand around and talk.
Now, look, buddy.
Malone's the name. I'm Al's manager, see? And when I say get out, I mean vamoose.
Al, are you okay, boy? This is Johnny Dollar.
Oh, no, you don't.
brother. That's why
you're wrong.
Hey, Al. Al. Good Lord, Al. What's the matter with you?
Hello, Johnny.
Hey, Al. Look at me. No, I mean straight at me. Here. Al.
I'm all right, Johnny.
You're in bad shape. You should never have fought tonight.
Oh, that's all right.
Where are your seconds, your trainer?
Ricky, he don't let nobody in after fight.
Look, Al, can you get up off that table, stand up and walk?
Oh, sure, Johnny.
Then come on, I'm taking you out of here to
no,
a doctor.
No, Johnny.
Easy, Al.
No, look behind
Al,
you, Ricky.
Please,
he's
come
up,
on.
He's got it.
You bet I am, Dollar!
Act two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in just a moment. Each Monday through Friday evening, most of these same stations bring you the Amos and Andy Music Hall. Variety entertainment at its best. For top songs, informal visits with top stars, and for a never-ending supply of fun, turn your home into the Amos and Andy Music Hall 5 nights a week. Now, act two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and the Squared Circle Matter.
When I came to, the dressing room was dark and quiet. After carefully falling off the table where they'd left me, I groped my way to the light switch, stumbling incidentally over the remains of the chair Ricky Malone had used on me. It was well after midnight, so I left by the dressing room window. The second I reached my hotel room, I put through a long-distance call, hoping Paul Kendrick would be in home, in bed. He was.
Yeah, hello.
Johnny Dollar. And Paul, you're right. It'll be murder unless I can stop it. Hey, you awake?
Oh, you mean Al Coronado. What's happened, Johnny?
Plenty. And listen, that boy is more than punch drunk. He's had a brain injury of some kind, I'll bet on it.
That's what I was afraid of.
The tap on the face that knocked him out tonight wasn't enough to hurt a kitten. But a good solid blow would probably kill him. That's why he kept protecting his face.
But Ricky Malone is making him keep on?
Who else? I just met the gentleman, by the way.
Well, what'd he say? Did you question him?
Before I could, he cracked me over the head with a chair.
Where is he now?
Oh, I don't know.
What are you going to do?
See if the police can track them down. Malone said something about leaving town right away.
Keep after him. Did you read that policy carefully?
You kidding? I haven't had time.
It's an annuity.
That much I saw.
Beginning in 3 or 4 years, it'll pay Al a nice little income for the rest of his life, if he survives.
But the beneficiary named...
Yes, Frankie Fortina, who gets the full face value of the policy if Al dies. Johnny.
Yeah?
I got a rundown on Fortina.
You said he was a bookie at one time.
That was the least of his crimes. He has a record as long as your arm. As I see it, he owns Al Coronado.
Then you're probably thinking what I am.
But Al hasn't been doing so well lately. He's taken a big drop in class. Isn't making the purses he used to.
You know that?
Yes. The ANBA keeps a complete record.
So with this injury to his brain, the only way Fortina can clean up on him is by seeing him dead.
That's right.
Well, what about medical examinations before these fights?
Ricky Malone could bribe his own mother, especially in some of the towns where Al has been fighting lately.
Yeah, it's possible, of course.
Also, what you and I believe is wrong with Al is one of the hardest things in the world to detect.
Yeah, I must admit he looked great when he entered the ring. Okay, Paul, one thing's in our favor. Neither Al nor Ricky Malone knows who I am, outside of being a fight fan.
Just so Fortina doesn't learn different.
Where is Fortina, by the way?
I don't know. So, Johnny, whatever you do, be careful.
Expense account item 9370 for a couple of phone calls, some breakfast, then a taxi to police headquarters. I'll say this for the Joplin police. When they go into action, they really get things done. Within less than 2 hours, Sergeant Danny Ruskin dug up all the information I wanted.
Well, that ties in with what Conroy found out at the airport. Now, that does it, Herm. Thanks very much.
Something?
Well, I think it gives us the whole story, Johnny. Al and his manager, Ricky Malone, checked out of their hotel, the Raybury, at 1 o'clock this morning.
Just the two of them?
Right. There was no third party by the name of 14 or anything else, just the two of them. They caught the 140 plane for Oklahoma City.
Oh.
And there they bought tickets routing them to Monterey, Mexico.
Mexico? How soon can I get a plane?
Going down there, huh?
I told you, I gotta save that guy's life.
All right, look, in Monterey, look up Sergeant Romelia Garcia, Main Homicide Division. You mention my name, he'll give you anything you want.
Good. Now, what about that plane? The deal on plane connections turned out to be bad. The best time I could make was by way of El Paso. That's item 10, $127, including incidentals. I finally pulled into Monterey shortly after 8 p.m. I parked my bag at the airport, taxied into town. Item 11, I went straight to main headquarters of the Policia. Sergeant Romilio Garcia was off duty. He had gone to the fights. Item 12, $4 American for a fast taxi ride to the Plaza del Fisticuffs, or whatever they call it. There for item 13, $5, I had the sergeant paged over the PA system. After two or three minutes, a short, stocky, important-looking figure in police uniform stood up to the door.
Senor Johnny Dollar?
Yeah, that's right, Sergeant. How are you?
You Americanos. Now, what is so important I must leave the excellent fights to talk with you, huh?
The possible murder of an American fighter right here in your own ring.
So what is that to be excited about? Something that happens all the time. It's because the Mexican fighter is more better than the Americano fighter. So if that is all it is bothering you...
Incidentally, Sergeant Danny Ruskin of the Joplin Police...
Sergeant Danny! Why do you not say so at the beginning?
Well, you didn't give me much of a chance.
How is it, my good friend, Sergeant Danny? Pues it's too long IFC here.
Yeah, well, look...
Excellent man, Sergeant Danny. When I have trouble with one of our Mexican nationals who escape across the border and go all the way to Missouri, Joplin, it's Sergeant Danny who... But you have a problem, eh?
Yeah. A fighter named Al Coronado.
Coronado. Oh, but of course, tomorrow night he is fighting here, and he will lose.
Why do you say that?
Come, look. Here on the, what you call, a billboard, a picture of the man he is to fight. So, El Toro Negro.
That sounds more like the name of a bull than a... Holy...
See, big man, is he not?
Is this picture real?
240 pounds, senor.
But Al Coronado only weighs in at 181.
See, El Toro, big man. And Senor Dollar, he is a killer, our best. Three men he's knocked out of the ring, but nobody hurts him, so no wonder you worried.
Sergeant, unless you and I can stop it, that won't be a fight tomorrow night. It'll be a premeditated, cold-blooded killing.
Oh? How so?
I showed Garcia my credentials, then told him what I knew and what I suspected.
But until we have proof of this, senor, to start what you call an international situation, you are not now in your own country, you know.
Still, he agreed to cooperate. First thing, of course, was to locate Al and his manager. In this city of nearly 200,000, that could be pretty rough. But he said he'd try. He drove me by the airport to pick up my bag, then to a hotel. And there, as the bellhop unlocked the door of my room, I got a real break. The next door down the hall opened.
Hey, kid, how'd you like to bring me up a glass of warm milk, huh?
Al. Al Coronado.
Huh? Oh, hi.
Here, boy. Just put in my bags inside and leave the door open.
Yeah, gracias, senor.
Hey, Al, are you alone?
Sure. Hey, you're Johnny, ain't you?
Yeah, that's right, Johnny, and I want to talk to you.
I used to see you inside all the time up in Hartford, huh?
You saw me in Joplin, too. Only you don't remember. Where's Ricky Malone, your manager?
Oh, he said he had to go meet somebody. He's always going out.
Look, Al, I'm an insurance investigator.
Oh? Oh, I got some insurance.
Yeah. One more fight and somebody's going to collect it.
Oh, no, Johnny. That's my retiring money.
The only one who'll retire on it is Frankie Fortina.
Hey, Frankie, he's my owner. You know him?
Hey, who takes all the aspirin around here?
Me. I get a lot of headaches all the time. Maybe that's why I ain't been hitting so good lately.
Yeah. Here, catch this bottle.
Hey, now... now look what you did.
No, no, Al. You look what you did. You missed that bottle by 3 inches. For the same reason you haven't been hitting well, why you have these headaches. All right, I'll give it to you straight. You've had a brain injury, Al. One good wallop on that head'll kill you. And that's just what Ricky and Fortina want.
No. Ricky always says to keep my head protected, so you must be wrong.
Am I?
Well, Ricky's good to me.
Why, you numbskull, he's trying to get you killed.
Johnny, you're all wrong.
You know the man you're up against tomorrow night?
Well, I know his name.
Well, he's the one scheduled to finish you off.
Johnny, I don't believe that.
Al, listen, you gotta believe it. Now, where's the telephone? Here.
Who are you gonna call?
Hello, this is an emergency. Get me Sergeant Romilio Garcia at Central Police Headquarters.
Cops?
That's right, Al. And a doctor.
No, Ricky says to stay away from doctors. All they do
all
is
they can do is stop you from ever fighting again. And that would make you worth just $50,000 less to Frankie for... Sergeant Johnny Dollar, I found Al. Hotel room right next to mine, room 915. Bring a doctor, a brain specialist if you can, even if you have to drag him out of bed. Oh, look, we'll fight the international situation when we come to it. You get a doctor up here, you hear me?
You hang up or I'll blow your head off.
Well, Mr. Fortina, I believe.
Frisk him, Ricky.
Sure, boss. He's clean.
Huh? I hate to shoot an unarmed man, Dollar, but if you make one phony move...
So you know who I am, huh?
Ricky here may be stupid in some ways, but he had sense enough to call me from Joplin after you broke in on him there. Finding out what you're up to wasn't difficult.
Finding out what you're up to wasn't very tough either, Fortina. But it's all over.
Not for me, Dollar. That's where you're wrong.
That phone call I made was to the police.
I know, to Central Headquarters. That's over 3 miles from here. By the time your sergeant finds a doctor and gets here, you'll be dead. And I will be gone.
Have you forgotten that you have a border to cross, Fortina?
You think I'm stupid? Frankie Fortina has never been here. He's never been even in Mexico. Because my tourist card reads Charles Edward Smith. And since the next plane leaves for the States in about 20 minutes, Ricky...
Yeah, boss?
I think Mr. Dollar had better have an accident. Fall out of the window, perhaps.
Oh, now, wait a minute,
what?
Boss. I mean,
listen to me, Malone. I had two reasons for coming down here. To see if you were right about Dollar and to make sure of that fight tomorrow. You've been stalling with Al. You've taken too long. The heat is on up north. I need the dough.
I told you, boss, that El Toro will do it tomorrow.
Fellas, shut up.
And look, if you take care of Dollar, what about me?
What?
Maybe you can get back to the States, but me, with Dollar laying dead here, and if Al talks...
Al won't talk. You won't either.
Frankie.
Dollar has given us a perfect setup. He came here to Al's room. You found him here. You had a fight. Dollar ends up in the street below.
But what happens to me?
Haven't I always taken care of you in the past when you were working for me? You know what will happen if you ever try to cross
me. No.
All right. I have contacts down here. I have plenty of them. I have lawyers, good ones. It's going to be self-defense, pure and simple.
But what if Al talks?
I told you before, Ricky. You've taken too long with him.
Frankie, listen.
While I hold this gun, you're going to take care of Al, too. The way you should have a long, long time ago in his fights.
I don't understand. No, listen to me, Frankie.
You listen.
You've been in
this whole thing just as deep as I have. And deeper. Because you're the one who's kept Al fighting. You've paid off all those phony medicos. You set him up for this El Toro tomorrow night. You'll do it, Ricky.
No.
Then I'll use the gun on all three of you.
Frankie.
You're out of your mind, Fortina.
Am I? It'll still look like a fight between you and Ricky.
Boss.
Al just happened to get hit accidentally by the gun that will be found beside your body.
Boss.
Hmm?
Boss, I'll do it.
You bet you will.
I'll do anything you say if you'll just help me get out of it.
Okay. Go ahead. Dollar is first.
And brother, if you think it's going to be easy...
It's either the window or this gun, Dollar. So far as you're concerned, I don't care which. Go on, Ricky.
Okay,
just remember,
boss.
Your own life depends on it.
You bet. I...
Quite dirty, will you?
The window, Ricky. The window, I said. Remember, it's your own life, Ricky.
All right, Fortina. So you have got a gun. Al.
Johnny, I hit him, huh?
What I'll be.
Si, Senor Dollar, with one very fine, clean left hook. While Fortina was watching you and the unfortunate Ricky.
Yeah.
You got here a little late, Garcia.
You see, but tell me, senor, what makes you think this Al Coronado has lost his punch?
Expense account item 13, $100. Legal expense, mainly a deposition for a lawyer to take to court. Just now, Garcia got me out of having to stay in Monterey for a hearing. I will never know, but he did. As for Al Coronado, I suggest the company make some adjustment in his policy that'll permit paying his annuities immediately. And why not? The company should have investigated more thoroughly before issuing this policy anyway. And if it doesn't show a little heart, well, I'm sure it will. Item 14, $224.50, hotel and incidentals and transportation back to Hartford. Expense account total, $491.20. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Now, here is our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, a fast trip to the West Coast to an impossible case involving an impossible man. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, originates in Hollywood. It is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone, who also wrote tonight's story. Heard in our cast were Harry Bartell, Herb Ellis, Victor Perrin, Jack Crucian, Les Tremaine, and Lawrence Dobkin. Musical supervision is by Amerigo Marino. Be sure to join us next week, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Stay tuned for 5 minutes of CBS News, to be followed over most of these same stations by the FBI in Peace and War. Dan Coverley speaking.
Thank you, lads. I didn't have my volume up. Yep, that was episode 517, yours truly, Johnny Dollar, The Squared Circle Matter. Interesting, that was written by Jack Johnstone. I don't recollect seeing or haven't heard one that was written by him before, at least that I'm aware of. The original air date of that was the 30th of December, 1956. Okay, we're going to have to fulfill an FCC obligation here, and we'll jump into the second part of the bill today. Again, this is Arthur. You're listening to 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0. All guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3. Be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Safety. WMFO Medford.
Thank you, Digital George and Digital Henry, for that public service announcement. Okay, as I said at the top of the hour, I had difficulty finding any shows of relevance, Thanksgiving relevance, that were of any good quality. They were all just poor quality. One I couldn't find was actually called Turkey Shoot. I could find it elsewhere, but not from my sources. And even then, the quality was poor, and I didn't feel like attempting to play it here. But I'm going to go back to episode of Gunsmoke. This is episode 184, titled Trouble in Kansas. This had an original air date of the 16th of October, 1955.
Gunsmoke, brought to you by Chesterfield, made the modern way with Accuray. Smoother, cooler, best for you.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun Smoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Time for a drink?
Well, I'll go with you, Doc.
Good, good. And the Long Branch is closest. Let's go in there.
Okay.
Some people say it doesn't look good for a doctor to be seen in a saloon.
Especially in the daytime.
Oh, then you believe it, too?
Oh, no, not me. I look on doctors as almost human.
Almost human. Well, that's mighty charitable of you. I'll think of that the next time you come crawling around with your throat cut or with a bullet in you.
You'll feel better when you get your drink, Doc.
Yeah, I'll feel better when I talk to Kitty.
Hello, Doc. Matt.
Hello, Kitty.
It's a pleasure to see you, Kitty. It's a real pleasure.
Well, thanks, Doc.
Sam, a bottle and two glasses.
Okay, Doc.
I'm buying the lady a drink.
You sure you haven't had enough already, Doc?
Oh, now, just because you're not used to men who act like gentlemen.
I think he's talking about me, Kitty.
Yeah, I figured that. What have you two been arguing about this time?
We've only been working up to an argument, Kitty.
Well, there's somebody else here seems to be doing that.
Oh? Huh?
That cowboy at the end of the bar.
Oh, what about him?
I heard him telling Sam he's got a pack horse outside, loaded with ammunition.
Well, there's no harm in that, is there?
He said it's to kill Kansans with, Doc.
Well, what did he mean, Kitty?
I don't know, Matt. But he's awful mad about something.
I'll be back in a minute.
Oh, no. Be careful. Careful a minute.
Hello. My name's Dillon. I'm the marshal here.
My name's Jim Hoyt, and I wish I'd never heard of Kansas.
Oh, where are you from, Hoyt?
Dena River.
Texas, huh?
Texas.
You staying here long?
Long enough to finish this drink. And since you're so nosy, I'll tell you. I'm with 9 other Texans. We got 2,000 head of cattle, 6 days' drive from here. They're branded Cross R and Jack Raven's Trail Boss. Anything else you want to know?
Yeah, there's something else. Have all of the men in that outfit got their backs up like you have?
Don't you worry none about us, Marshal. We'll handle things.
With all that ammunition they sent you for, what's going on down there, anyway?
Nothing a few Texans can't take care of.
Why don't you want to tell me about it, Hoyt?
Because I don't trust you no more than I'd trust any Kansan.
Then why don't you finish your drink? Because I'm going to ride back with you.
With a smile, with Chesterfield. Smoother, cooler, milder, Chesterfield. Put a smile in your smoking, just give them a try. Chesterfield's best for you. They satisfy. satisfied.
If you want tomorrow's better cigarette today, next time you buy cigarettes, stop. Remember, only Chesterfield is made the modern way with Accuray. You'll notice how fresh and good Chesterfield's made with Accuray taste, how smooth they are, and how they satisfy. So buy Chesterfield today. Smoother, cooler, best for you.
Jim Hoyt didn't like it much, but I got Chester and we saddled up and rode south with him. Nobody said a word the whole day. And that night, Chester and I spelled each other, keeping awake so as Hoyt wouldn't slip out on us. He knew what we were doing, and of course he just stretched out on the ground and enjoyed a good night's rest. It was late the next afternoon, soon after we crossed the Cimarron, that we ran into the Cross R herd, bedding down for the night. We rode around it, up to the chuck wagon fire, and dismounted.
Jack Raven's a trail boss, Marshal, and that's him leaning against that wagon studying.
Yeah, let's go talk to him, Chester.
And you tell him how you got here so he'll know who to get mad at.
I'll do that, Hoyt.
Well, them's the first word Hoyt said in the last 10 miles.
I guess he's been saving his strength.
What for?
I don't know. Maybe the boss here will tell us.
Yeah, if he don't shoot us first, he looks downright unfriendly to me.
Jack Raven?
That's me.
My name's Matt Dillon. This Chester Proudfoot.
How you do? Howdy.
I'm a U.S. Marshal, Raven.
Dodge?
Uh-huh. This your first time up the trail?
First time for any of it.
Now, Jim Hoyt didn't tell me much. He didn't want me down here at all.
And why'd you come?
I got curious about that ammunition you sent him to Dodge for.
Some law against it?
Yeah, that depends on what you aim to use it for.
We aim to kill Kansans with it, Marshal.
Uh-huh. You got any particular Kansans in mind?
I ain't particular.
You told me that's your first trip up here, the first trip for any of you, huh?
What's that got to do with it?
You lost many cattle?
I've lost all I'm going to.
How many?
Some 20, 30 head.
Stampede?
Two of them.
How'd they get started?
Men? Men out there waving blankets they set fire to in the night. And they wasn't Indians, neither. We've seen them, but we couldn't chase them or go shooting at them, or we'd have lost the whole herd.
Then why did you send Hoyt for ammunition? You gonna start shooting next time?
We're short of ammunition, Marshal. Next time it happens, we thought maybe we'd some of us take off a few days to do a little hunting.
I see.
I want to get this herd to Dodge. I want to get it sold. Then we're riding back this way.
And shoot anybody you come across, is that it?
Well, like I said, I ain't particular, Marshal. Not about Kansans, I ain't.
Tell me something, Raven. You ever hear of Jayhawkers?
No.
They're outlaws, Raven. They're murderers, criminals. They're men who started riding on the Missouri border during the war, and they got the taste of blood in their mouths. Now it's like they got no place to go. So they're out after anything in sight. And they cause a lot of trouble.
And why don't you stop them?
We try. Don't forget, the ordinary Kansan hates Jayhawkers as much as you do.
But what do they want? What good does it do them to stampede my herd?
You'll find out what they want. They'll let you know. And I want to stay here to help you when they do.
I don't know whether I trust you or not.
I guess you'll have to find that one out, too, Raven.
Yeah, I'll find it out. I got work to do now. I don't know if the cook will feed in the Kansas men, but you can go ask him.
Mr. Dillon. Mr. Dillon?
What? What is it, Chester?
It's almost daylight.
Oh, yeah. I guess we better get up.
I declare I didn't hear a thing all night. I slept right through.
Well, if it'd been a stampede, you'd have heard it, Chester.
Maybe them Jayhawkers just quit.
Maybe.
Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, what?
Look yonder, riding that horse.
That's Jim Hoyt.
Well, where's his clothes? And look, he's all bloodied up. They're having to help him get down off his horse. There's Jack Raven.
Yeah.
What in the world do you suppose happened?
He didn't get those marks on his back from a fall. Take a look at Jim Hoyt, Marshal. Take a good look.
Where'd they catch you, Hoyt?
How come you know anybody caught me, Marshal?
That's a good question. How do you know?
This has happened before. It's one of their methods.
Filthy cans of...
Jayhawkers.
Mighty fancy name for a bunch of murdering devils.
You were on guard and they sneaked up on you. Is that the way it happened?
They stripped me and flogged me.
Didn't they give them a message? For me.
They want money, huh?
I got 2,000 head of cattle, Marshal. If I pay them Jayhawkers $2 a head, they say there won't be no more trouble.
By sundown. They want that money by sundown.
You gonna pay it, Raven?
I'd rather lose a whole herd. We'll ride guard in pairs tonight. There won't be any more beatings. And I hope there's no shooting. Them cattle are ready to run most anything by now.
We'd like to ride with you, Raven.
I might trust you, Marshal. I don't know. But the men wouldn't. They'd never stand for it.
All right. Well, we're going to be around. We're not leaving here.
And you better keep pretty close to camp. You might get yourself killed if you stray very far.
Listen. Listen to an electronic miracle. This electronic miracle, Accuray, means that everything from auto tires to apple pie, battleship steel to baby food, butter to cigarettes, can be made better and safer for you. Now meet Mr. Bert Choate, brilliant young president of Industrial Nucleonics. Well, Bert, exactly what is Accuray?
Well, George, it is a device by which a stream of electrons passes through and analyzes the product while it is actually being made. They transmit what they see to this electronic brain, which adjusts the production machinery for errors down to millionths of an inch.
One more question, one that so many people ask me. How does Accuray make Chesterfield a better cigarette than was ever possible before?
Every cigarette made with Accuray control contains a more precise measure of perfectly packed tobaccos, so Chesterfield smokes smoother without hot spots or a hard draw.
And that's why Chesterfield tastes so much better. I guess that's why you smoke them yourself, Bert.
You see, I know what Accuray can do.
Well, there's your answer. If you want tomorrow's better cigarette today, next time, stop. Remember. Only Chesterfield is made the modern way with Accuray. Best for you.
I took Raven's advice, and Chester and I stayed with the chuck wagon all that day. But when the herd was bedded down, about dusk, we saddled up and rode out of camp. Raven had his men standing guard by twos, all right. And he had the herd lying on a plain that apparently nobody could approach without being seen a mile or so off. We scouted the land till dark. And just as the moon was coming up, we found what I'd been hoping for. A deep gully about a half a mile from the herd. The contour of the land made it difficult to see unless you were almost on top of it. And I picked it as the most likely approach the Jayhawkers had used. We hid our horses at the bottom and then climbed back out.
That's an awful long gully, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah.
Them Jayhawkers could ride out of it most anywhere for a mile or so.
Yeah, they could, Chester, but right in here is where it's closest to the herd. Oh, we better lie down.
That's right.
You know, I've been thinking, Mr. Dillon, there's only two of us. Might go hard if we have to shoot it out with maybe a dozen men.
And I'm hoping there won't be any shooting at all.
You know, almost half a mile from that herd. Hadn't ought to bother him very much.
It'd bother him. Like Raven said, those cattle are ready to run at anything.
Well, if we can't shoot, how are we going to stop them Jayhawkers?
Well, most of the kind are cowards, Chester. If we surprise them, maybe we can scare them into dropping their guns.
You believe that?
Well, I'm gambling on it anyway. If we start a stampede by getting into a gun battle over here, those Texans aren't going to treat us any better than they would the Jayhawkers.
They sure are a hard-headed lot, ain't they?
Yeah, they got some cause to be, Chester.
Well, they got no cause to be.
Shh. Listen.
Somebody in the gulch. They're right down there, Mr. Dillon. They'll come climb it out in a minute.
Not if we're on top of them. Come on. Don't do any shooting unless I do, huh?
No, I won't.
Quiet now.
What's going on?
No. Too much moon to ride over there. We'll stampede them from here. All we got to do is spread out along this gulch and start shooting.
Uh-huh.
It don't matter whether you hit cows or Texans.
Well, let's spread out a little, Joseph. We'll crawl right up on top of them.
All right, you.
Come on.
No, no. We're a long ways off. If we set up enough rifle fire, them cattle will stampede sure. They'll have their hands so full chasing them, they won't have time to worry us.
You men are covered. Get your hands up.
You better do what he says. We're all around you.
That's right, men. He'll kill us anyway.
No. All right, Chester, give it to him.
One of them's getting away, Mr. Dillon. Will we chase him?
No, let him go, Chester. We got the other three.
He sure did put up a fight, didn't he?
Yeah, I kind of misjudged her being cowards and quitting.
Listen.
Yeah, it's the cattle. We started another stampede after all.
Come on, we better go help them.
No, they're running the other way. We'd never get anywhere near them.
I bet them Texans is going to be mighty mad.
Yeah, and mostly at us. We left the Jayhawkers right where they died. Rode slowly back to camp. Nobody was there but the cook. So we sat down and waited. We waited 3 or 4 hours before any riders showed up. And when they did, they weren't exactly friendly. They stood around at a distance and watched us as though they were guarding a couple of prisoners. Finally, Jim Hoyt walked over to us.
It was you done all that shooting, Marshal.
Some of it, yeah.
I was shooting, too.
Well, the men wants to hang you.
Oh, is that so?
We seen you riding around, didn't know what you was up to, but we sure found out, didn't we, man?
All right, now you just look here.
Take
There's
it easy.
There's four of us here now. You going to put up a fight?
I don't blame you for being mad, Hoyt. How the rest of you? But that's no excuse to be talking about lynching anybody.
We ain't talking, Marshal. We're going to do it.
Wouldn't you like to know why we were doing the shooting?
We know all we need to know. Unbuckle them guns, both.
Use your head, Hoyt.
It's Jack Raven.
Raven ain't going to stop us.
What's going on here?
We're about to hang us a couple of Kansans, Raven.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Don't aim to have no interference.
All right. I won't give you any.
Good.
I want to tell you something first, though.
Say it out.
I was kind of curious about it, so I rode over to where those two did all that shooting. You know what I found?
Bunch of empty cartridges.
I found 3 dead men, Hoyt, laying in a gully.
What?
Now, I don't know what these here Jayhawkers is supposed to look like, but them 3 men I found, that's how they ought to look.
This for true, Reeve?
It's true.
Well, I guess I've been a little hot-headed.
I didn't trust the marshal either. Not at first.
Well, then, you done our work for us, Marshal. It was you, too. Found them devils and faced them.
Ah, forget it, Hoyt. It's over. I don't think you'll be bothered anymore.
Say, Marshal, me and Hoyt and the men, we've had a bad trip. When we get to Dodge, we'll maybe want to kick up our heels a little.
Well, short of gunplay, Raven, this is one outfit that can hurrah Dodge all at once. Now, when do you get there? The first bottle's on me.
If you want tomorrow's better cigarette today, next time you buy cigarettes, stop. Remember, only Chesterfield is made the modern way with Accuray. You'll notice how fresh and good Chesterfield's made with Accuray taste, how smooth they are, and how they satisfy. So buy Chesterfield today. Smoother, cooler, best for you. Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Ray Kemper. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin, Barney Phillips, and Harry Bartell. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. The makers of Chesterfield and L&M Filters salute the National Safety Council on their 43rd National Safety Congress, which is being held in Chicago, October 17th through October 21st.
Make today your big red letter day, your L&M red letter day. Superior taste and filter, it's the miracle tip. Make today your big red letter day. Change to L&M today.
L&M's got everything.
Superior taste.
And superior filter.
Get L&M today.
This is it. L&M, superior taste and filter. Superior taste from tobaccos especially selected for filter smoking. Tobaccos that are richer, tastier, light and mild. And L&M's superior filter is white, pure white. Truly the miracle tip. Because when it's added to L&M tobaccos, it actually improves your enjoyment of this great cigarette. Next time you buy cigarettes, look for the big red letters L&M. Smoke L&M filters, America's best filter tip cigarette.
Be sure and listen to Gunsmoke again on radio next week at the same time. Transcribed for Chesterfield.
Chesterfields.
L&M. That was at episode 184 of Gunsmoke, Trouble in Kansas. Some issues there with some Jayhawkers, I guess. The original air date was the 16th of October, 1955. Again, sorry there wasn't any sort of Happy Thanksgiving themed shows, because the ones that I did find were just pretty poor quality. Not something that I live up to the high standard of here on the Grand Hour. In terms of quality. I mean, I've played some pretty poor quality ones, I guess. So I guess it's a false statement. Anyway, I'm just going to play out a song that everybody should know. Because I'm running a little bit ahead of schedule this morning with the dramas here, clocking in at 24 minutes apiece. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll just be back here next week. Don't know what I'm going to play yet. Probably something along the same lines I've been playing. Again, this is Arthur. The Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Again, Happy Thanksgiving. Breakfast may or may not be up next. Who knows with the holiday schedule? I didn't see them putting in for a sub, so they should be here. Happy Thanksgiving again.